Blog Talk Radio.
It's like the E on the beat.
Oi, this one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You gon' make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. Oh yeah, make you ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta eh. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta ricotta mama Africa ricotta eh. Make you dance yeah, 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 yeah. This one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You gon' make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. Oi. Wekalaka, ay, nandi walanya, ay, nandi kalanya. It gon' make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. It gon' make you feel nice. Oh yeah, let's go to Kenya, Rwanda and Tanzania. Togo, Cameroon, Niger, Ghana, South and Sudan. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta. You go forget your sorrow. Makachuku, you go buy and play for your moto. This one na sara sara. The beat is tarantana. You go make you manya manya. Ines is in manya manya. This is for people with chalacha. People with kalaka. Nandi walanya. Nandi kalanya. You go make you feel better. This can take away palaba. This can take away wahala. Make you feel Niger. Oh yeah, let's go to Zambia, Uganda, South Africa, Togo, Cameroon, Burundi, also Benin Republic. Hey. Oh yeah, make you ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody ricotta, ricotta, mama Africa, ricotta, eh. Hey. Make you dance, yeah, 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 yeah. One sara sara le, o sara sara le. Make you dance, yeah.
Joining me, and I hope all you listening audience, if you are listening to that song, that you do feel a little better. These days, we always need to keep things positive and upbeat and purposeful, and that's why we have a very special guest tonight to fit into this theme of being happy, being positive, making us feel better, and helping us understand our purpose. My name is Viata. I'm your host tonight. And Keith Thompson is back again. This is his second visit to Soul Purpose Healing. And Keith Thompson is the founder of, the founder of Designing My Mind. I love that topic. And it makes me reminds me of the book of Romans in the scriptures that says, Romans 12 tells us, I think it's chapter 12, verse 2, says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the continual or ongoing renewing of our mind. that we may discern what is that good, acceptable, and even the perfect will of our Creator, Yahuwah. So I am very excited to have back tonight Keith Thompson, who's going to share, give us an update on his website, the Value Systems website, and talk to us a little bit more about what he's doing. He's got a webinar coming up. And so let me open up the mic so we can get going with Mr. Keith Thompson. Keith, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Beata. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Yeah, actually, that music, I was rocking back and forth on it. So, yeah, it's a good feel music there.
Good. Tapping your feet, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Good
music.
Good
feet-tapping
music. Oh, me too. I couldn't live. I think after my Creator, music is my number one passion. And I love to hear all kinds of music, especially these days, music that is upbeat, keeping us flowing in the purpose that we're here for.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Keith, for coming on at such short notice, too. You were on my mind, though, for several days, so I finally called Keith and said, Keith, you've got to come back and give us an update on what you're doing. So, because the last time you were here, it was so uplifting and interesting and enlightening. So I have titled this show Empowering Our How to Have Powerful Value Systems. And we all need powerful value systems. And I just want to read, I was thinking about the definition of value systems, and here's one that struck me, and I'd like to get, then Keith can kind of take over from here. I found a definition on my phone, actually, that said a set of principles or ideals that drive and or guide your behavior. Your personal value system gives you structure and purpose by helping you determine what is meaningful and important to you. So note, Keith, you are the founder of Designing My Mind. Tell us, tell our audience more about a little bit about your background, because some people may have missed your first show. And why don't you introduce us to your background?
Okay. I'd be happy to. So I started off back when I was about 19 years old, although it really kind of things were happening a little bit before that. And I want to go back there because that is where I really began to understand what my interest was and kind of what my purpose was in life, actually. And I happened to find this book in the garage, and I happened to know my mom had put it down there and just kind of looked at it and kind of went on the shelf, so to speak. But I ran across this book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And I kid you not, this was the first time, even all through high school, and I did okay in high school, all through high school, this is the first time I read a book cover to cover, not only once, but three times.
Wow.
And I was really hooked into this information about what is the mind all about. And so as moving forward, I got into martial arts, and I'm still in the martial arts today. I got into meditation, still doing meditation today. And in 1978, that was a while ago now, I decided to become a clinical hypnotherapist. And so I took that training and had my own practice for a while and learned a lot by helping other people in that capacity and got into, just kept with it, just learning about the mind and understanding the different levels of the mind. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it all began. And even today, I've done talk shows. I've had my own talk show, and I'm doing conference calling today on this particular topic. And so, yeah, and even today, I call myself a student of the mind. And I like to leave it at that because there's just no end to it. I have not seen one. And all of us bring in such a unique package and have a new unique way of viewing and looking at things that I even marvel on the uniqueness of who we each are, because we bring in a different point of view. So it really is kind of a fascinating topic to me. And I've been studying this thing for over 30 years, and it's just, I'm still in awe by it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That even the word mind itself, as I've studied Hebrew, I came across the Hebrew word lev, which means, I always thought it meant heart. But when I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, it actually means mind as well. So you start thinking about the heart and the mind as one word in the Hebrew scripture. It's like, wow. So you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on my logo, on the Designing My Mind logo, there's a labyrinth. And if you look real closely, there's a heart in the labyrinth. So learning how to move through the maze and all the twists and turns that it offers, but travel with the heart, and you'll gain passage. That's what I really believe.
Yeah, it's so now you're developing a nice website. I've seen how that website is coming along. So well, tell us a little bit about the web, because you've got different areas of the mind or value systems that you are targeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what I've done through my discovering and through all my research, discovered how valuable value systems are, and understanding, and also along with understanding the mind, because we live our life according to what we value.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to that. So on the website itself, it talks about 8 different value systems that's defined, which is your career, your emotional, your family, your financial, your health, your physical, your social, and your spiritual. And we make up all of those different things within our value system, and we call it a value system.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's real interesting about this, going a little deeper with this particular topic, is that from the mind perspective, we come into planet Earth. And we come in with the level of the mind that's called the subconscious mind, or the alpha state. We come in the alpha state. And so what that means is that the subconscious mind, number one, holds everything to be true, and it's the recorder of what we're experiencing, what people are saying to us. And so from the age of 1 to 6, our parents, our siblings, whoever's around, whatever's going on in the environment is being recorded by this new being from the age of 0 to about 7, and it starts shifting a little bit. So we have all this stuff, and our parents' values are Aunt Nancy's values, all these different value systems are just bombarded in our subconscious mind, and it becomes the base of our foundation of who we are. Now, one of the things that's real interesting about this is that there, a lot of them are someone else's belief systems. So we're walking around believing what somebody else's belief systems are.
Right.
So one of the things that I have on my website, and I have a new tagline, which is called Cracking the Genius Code, because I truly believe that every single one of us are geniuses. And I think on the last call we had this discussion as well. So how do we begin to crack these codes? One of the ways is to begin the process of understanding our authentic self. And who are we is the question to ask, or who am I? And what are my unique talents that I have to share to this world or to my family or to wherever your value systems are at with that? So here's this stuff that has taken place when we first came into planet Earth that has all this information, and many of it's been long forgotten, but it's all been recorded. It's all there with different belief systems, different emotions. And emotions are a huge one as far as how we react to the world. So let me ask you this. How would you like me to proceed from what I've just shared from there? Because this can go a lot of different places.
Well, I think you hit on an important, very important topic about how we are raised with other people's beliefs and values. And it doesn't, isn't it a shame, Keith, that many of us, like you're saying, many of us don't even understand who we really are and what our purpose is and why we're here until we're older in the journey. Long into the journey in our 30s, 40s, 50s, some people even 60s and 70s. And
some
that's
people,
why,
not even at all.
Yeah. No, go ahead. It's like, so where to start? It's like you have hit on so many important areas that can help us be powerful in our value systems. Number one, realizing, I think we can talk about other people's belief systems and values that we are programmed with as we grow. Like you said, it starts from birth, even in the womb. I believe things start in the womb, and even maybe before the womb. I have an experience recently that took me back to my grandmother, who I never met. And I realized how much influence that woman's spirit had on me today. And I don't know if you believe in reincarnation.
I used to do what's called life regression in part of my private practice.
Okay, so we may have to talk offline.
And there's a story behind the reason why I call it life regression instead of past life. And I'll just say this real quickly because it's kind of getting off topic, but it's on topic a little bit. But
yeah.
I definitely am a firm believer that we have parallel realities. And so everything is existing right now.
Okay. Okay.
So when we tap into other realities, we can tap into what we consider past as well.
Well, let's just do a little short therapy session. I'll be the patient.
Okay.
And we'll use me as an example. I'm very transparent. I don't hide things. I believe everything I experience I'm meant to share so that people can grow, not to just brag or anything. But I'm writing my dad's book, a biography. He's 90 years old. He remembers everything.
Wow.
And
wow.
His mother, I never met his mother, but I so identify with this woman now that he's told me so much about her. So let me get right. I'm the patient. You're the therapist. And because we want to have powerful value systems, sometimes we have to go through therapy. And that's why you have been training to be a therapist, because there's so many of us who are carrying this programming from other people, even ancestors, that we need to get rid of. And so here's the thing. My grandmother died of, my father's mother died of uterine cancer.
Okay.
And she was only 36 years old, and she was raised in New Orleans, Louisiana, where they had brothels and they had men coming off of ships, and women of all colors, races, creeds were ready to help these men. And she may have been doing some of the extra sexual favors. I don't know, but I know she died of uterine cancer. And my dad said she was the sweetest woman to him. She taught him everything, the how to react to racism because it was Jim Crow South. And so she died of uterine cancer, which tells me that in her reproductive area she had a lot of conflicts. And my dad even told me, she told him she tried to abort him. She tried everything she could to abort that baby, and my dad was born weighing 13 pounds.
Wow.
So in his case, it was a divine override. And so just identifying with that much information about my grandmother, I really lately started identifying with my own pains. I have had this pain in my right abdomen area for years, for many years. And I thought a lot of it had to do with my ex-husband and I being unequally yoked, and I had a lot of resentment and my knowledge of the human body, how the right side of the body is male energy. So I was attributing it for many, many years to this man in my life. But recently I started thinking, what if it's my grandmother's pain that I'm carrying?
Okay.
In her right utero, in her right abdominal area. She died of uterine cancer. So, and she tried to abort my dad. So who's to say she didn't try to abort other children? Because she had, there were men in her life. My dad even admitted that. He had several, quote, stepfathers. And so there was always different men in her life. And women being poor, they didn't want to carry children because of their poverty. So that's where I've struggled with this pain in my right abdominal area, and I'm starting to get some relief and revelation from that. So you as a therapist, how would you help women who might be having pain in even other areas? But in my case, it's been my right abdominal area.
Absolutely. So one of the first places that I would begin with this is I want to go to the emotional values with this. But before I do this, I want to say that scientists have proven that genetically we carry about three generations of programming in the genes.
Mm. Wow.
Now, this is really important to know. However, these genes can be altered. They are discovering that now. And
right.
One of the ways that we can begin to alter this past history is through understanding the anchors, which comes from the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that happens is that, say for an example, there's a guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an example of a guilt because of the abortion.
Mm-hmm,
maybe it goes
mm-hmm.
against the grain about certain belief systems within
yes.
that structure. Maybe
yes.
there's a belief that this person may even go to hell because
mm-hmm.
of this type of thing. So now we're building up all these emotions and we're anchoring
mm-hmm.
them within the
mm-hmm.
subconscious mind. And
mm-hmm.
what happens from there is that we begin to have chemical releases when we're having these emotional stuff
mm-hmm.
that's going on. So now the body is reacting chemically
mm-hmm.
to a negative emotion that has
mm-hmm.
been anchored and possibly have been anchored for three generations.
Wow. Yep.
So now how do we stop all stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways, and it's important, so going back to the heart again, is to bring in the love again, love of self, the love of who we are, the forgiveness aspect of it. And from a conscious perspective, whenever that emotion pops up, whatever it is, say it's self-hate, stop it immediately. No longer entertain those emotions, because those emotions are releasing chemicals. And sometimes they can turn into cancer. So we have to begin to, so sometimes, which a lot of times deals with some form of hatred. So this is how we can kind of begin the process with this of unplugging, pulling the plug, if you will, in the subconscious mind, and begin to change the belief systems. So you look at where the emotions are, because that's a, and especially for women, because women are very strong in the emotional values, that they can really begin to detect, because they're connected to their emotions very well. So they can detect where those self-hatreds are, or those angriness, or any of those type of emotions. No longer entertain those. Begin to pull the plug. Introduce new concepts such as I am love.
That's so important. And for you, I'm sure you've heard, you've been working in this field for a while. You've heard many stories, like you said, for women. What's been your experience with the men on their part? Because what I'm feeling about my grandmother is, how were these men treating her, and how were the men, were they with her for long? I'm thinking all these questions about this woman I never met, but I feel her spirit so strongly lately. I think it's because I've been working on my dad's book for 5 years, and it's finally, I'm almost getting ready to give birth to this book. And I've just learned so much about my dad and his mother and his family and his thoughts and all of the history. There's a lot of history, and like you say, it's tied up in the subconscious. So what about the male side of these types of conflicts?
Well, I think there's a lot going on inside the male conflict, and particularly Black American men. There's a lot of things going on, and particularly what we've just experienced in 2014 and 2015 in the media of all this stuff. And also with, working on getting a job and supporting their family. And however, there's a lot of very successful Black men that are out there and are very strong, and kudos to them. And for those that are working on finding their way, it's very important to understand where their geniuses are located and how they can begin to provide not only for themselves, but bring something to society as well. So, we've been bombarded by a lot of stuff. Particularly growing up, there's a lot of those negative activities, those negative thoughts that stem from racism or stem from certain perceptions of who we're to be and stuff like that. And there's a lot of letting go there as well. And once again, it's going back to the love, understanding that, yes, we are geniuses, and I want to really emphasize that. That's really important. And then once that's accepted, then that discovery and discovering how or what it is that we bring that is so uniquely ours.
Amen. And just as I think it goes back to the genius part, is our creator is not wasting time when he knits together this awesome body for 9 months. When we think about how awesome this body is, this biological computer, and we had this body was not made by man's hands. It was created by a divine brain, a divine mind, which the creator gives to us. Isn't it? I just thought about that. When you say we're geniuses, It's because the creator gave us his mind, or the
Absolutely.
Mind of the mind of the cosmos, actually, because when the more you study this human vessel, we are microcosms of the universe. And so you're so right about us being geniuses, because we are mirroring what is up above us.
And so there's been that program, and it's very, very beautifully stated, by the way. And there's this program, keep in mind, that says we aren't.
Yes, yes.
And all that stuff that's within that filter that's saying we're not, begin the process to cipher through all that and eradicate all those old stuff, old belief systems that aren't even ours.
Yes.
I call them hand-me-downs.
Oh, my goodness.
Systems.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, because I remember my ex used to use the word stupid a lot with his kids. Not a lot, but every now and then I'd hear him calling his son stupid, and I would think, well, that's really weird or strange, because my parents never called me stupid. They might call me other names, but I never remember hearing that word stupid. But I started to think back to my father-in-law, who I had known for a while before he died, and his demeanor was like that. He would call his children stupid. Number one, he was an alcoholic, and he came from a very poor background, a very poor family, and in Alabama. And I can imagine as a child that my father-in-law was called stupid a lot.
Wow.
And then not that far removed from slavery were probably his parents and grandparents. So how many times did, you know, the slaves hear the master calling them stupid? And then that programming is carried over to their children, and then all the way up to my ex calling his children stupid. So I knew in my mind and that my husband, ex-husband, had been called stupid many times by his father because of his behavior, where he really showed to me a lack of self-love.
Yep, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. And some of those things that we, as black men, have to filter through those type of things. One of the things I had to filter through is that you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, shame. Wow, that's a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, so we have to work through all that stuff and begin to pull the emotional plug on that, because we don't want to create chemicals within the body that can eventually turn into illnesses because of those type of negative emotions that aren't even ours.
Yes, yes, yes. And once we look at our parents and their parents, it starts with being first conscious that we're holding on to these emotions, right, and that we're in poor health. And looking at, why am I in poor health? What am I holding on to? And as you say, looking at your thoughts, looking at the programming, going backwards, and realizing that actually Mama AZ, who I think has got her hand up, I'll bring her in a minute. We had come up with an acronym for STUPID. And we had decided STUPID meant substandard training, unable to propel, inspire, and deliver. But the two of us worked on that one a lot, because that word just kept coming up in our minds. Stupid, stupid, stupid. You know, I've heard other people use it, and I've heard it be other people being called stupid by their parents and so forth. But we just decided to turn it around and make it an acronym that really describes accurately the substandard training that has been unable to propel, inspire, and deliver people from that subconscious program that you're talking about.
Interesting. Okay, I like that.
So I have Mama AZ with her hand up. I think that, Sister AZ, are you there?
Yes, Sister. Can you hear me?
A little louder, please.
Can you hear me?
That's a little better. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm very grateful to be on this side of the earth. I'm over here at the cabin at Mother's for the Earth.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, and greetings, Keith. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing well, Mama Z. How's it going for you?
Hey, I'm at one of my favorite spots. The first favorite is Pettigrew State Park in Terrell County in Creswell, North Carolina, right next door to Somerset Place, the plantation. And this is my second home, my second spot. It's a medicine wheel here. Oh, it's so wonderful, sister. You never cease to amaze me, Sister Viata, with your programs. Man, you are a bad motor scooter. I love it. And I'll be quiet and I will listen. Just keep it moving, Keith. Keep it moving, Sister Viata. And I'm listening. I'm just taking a chill pill, waiting for this show.
Let me ask you a question. Why is that your favorite place up in all? You're back in Virginia. There is really something special. Why is that your favorite place? Because we're talking tonight about renewing the mind and designing your own mind and empowering. So why that place is empowering for you? Why is that?
Because the ancestors, sister, brought me here to insist. They are assisting me in remembering my purpose in 79.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through a gateway. And I'm a melanated person somewhat. And when Caucasian people like Matt Kahn and, you know, the whole nine yards, when they talk about these kinds of things, people just flock like white on rice to them. And now is my time. And thank you, Keith, for definitely being a melanated person and your intelligence and what you bring to this doggone planet. Okay.
Okay,
and it's just like, you know, before I leave the building, I got to tell somebody this, because the information that I've been receiving for actually eons, I just began to wake up to this in actually 79. It scared me, and I had to breathe and say, okay. And the ancestors took me not only here, but the second walkabout was the plantation. And coming from Phoenix, being a Phoenician, meaning born in Phoenix, Arizona, do you realize I had no clue what a doggone plantation was, y'all? I'm serious as a heart attack. And when the ancestors put me to sleep, I had this on film. And drove me in my ignorance to a plantation in 1990. The rest is history. And that was Somerset Place. And then in 79, when I was brought here before the plantation, Somerset Place, sister, I started putting two and two together. When I took the time to read the Celestine Prophecies by James Redfield, and oh my God. And see, here at Mothers for the Earth in Alton, Virginia, I can be who I came to be on this planet. And I overstand and understand why these ancestors here brought me back. I get a certain kind of energy, a fulfillment. To me, it's better than the best orgasm that I've had in my whole entire life. I'm serious as a heart attack. And just the mere fact that I can be a part of this and learn, like you said, Brother Keith, it's never ending. It's never. And so this melanated person has a purpose to be on the shelf of Matt Kahn, Miss Sophia Stewart, and many, many others like yourselves to at least record some of this. So when I'm gone to the other side, there will be people that can check this nutty woman out. They call me and say, okay, let me see what this is all about. And so, because that's what I do with others who are on the other side. When they, there are others that are working with me now, such as Napoleon Davis and Dr. Lateef's husband, and many, many more, Mr. Louis G. Gregory, Chief Frank Folesgrove, his uncle, Black Elk, Chief Joseph, all of those people are like ascended masters, and they work with me. So they tell me where to go. If I listen, I know. And so thank you for asking. Yes,
well,
it means a lot to me, sister.
Thank you. Yes. Press on, my sister. Press on, because you have the mind that is being renewed daily, and you have the voice. You have an ear to hear what so many of us don't hear. I have another caller from area code 407-760. You're on the air. Give us your name, where you're calling from, please. Hello. Are you there? 407-760, are you there? 407-760, are you there? Okay, we will come back to you. Let's see, I'll go to 770. This looks like Brother Kwame's number. Is that Brother Kwame?
Well, greetings, Sister Beata, and greetings.
Please. Greetings. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better. It's so nice to have another male voice on the line. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm late chiming in because I was Shanti down there in Florida in winter somewhere down there. Winter Garden, I was on a conference call with them, and they just finished, and I just dialed in and said, okay, I got one for you, and then let me call in and see what's going on here. So I'm not
well,
really,
welcome.
Well, and I'm most grateful to be a part, you know, and I commend my brother for what is that he's sharing, because I haven't heard anything but him acknowledging Miss AZ, so I'm going to sit back and listen and perceive what it is the other male energy is sharing. But I know right now it's a very pivotal time in what we're doing, in what we've just had to experience, and the new moon beginning tomorrow after we've just had that major, you know, last blood moon and eclipse, lunar eclipse, and the energy that has been given to the planet and to all the beings on it. It's a most powerful time that we begin to, like Ms. AZ, hear those ancestors and those ones that are calling in the other realm and speaking through her. And we all have our gift and our purpose in which we've come to the planet for. And being able to tap into ourselves and beginning to look at the helpers that are there within the activation of our own DNA and our Akashic record. It's very important to tune into these new higher frequencies, because I've just come back from the crystal dig in Arkansas, and it was awesome, you know, the gifts that were given to be there at the changing of the season and when that moon shifting was going on, because the download into those crystals, which are Mother Earth laptops, and when you learn to tap into them, you can get any program or any information that you need can be helped or helped to receive, just as we use our smartphones and that. We can use Earth energy to do the same programming, because they have a greater cosmic program already put into them, as we're putting in you know, the Windows 95 and all of these little XPs and the really ones you want to tap into is the Cosmic program. So I'll just listen to see what my brother has to share, and thank you for being there.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that comment. You know, that's significant, Keith, too, that you're about to do a webinar, is it? And it right at the change of the moon, from waning to waxing. Give us a little bit of information about this webinar coming up.
Well, the webinar is about, it does start tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So it's about a journey into value systems. And that's the title of the workbook. We do a workbook. And basically what it does, it helps one get into what their values are and help discover where they are with their values. What I have found and what my experiences have been with this program is that many people think their values are one thing, family, my social, and some other stuff. And when they actually do a time study that's in the workbook, they realize that the time that they spend and what they value most are different. And so we're not linked up with how we really think our value systems are, because we're busy doing something else and living on someone else's belief system. So this program helps kind of bring that back to what is it you really value and how do you really want to spend your time here on this planet.
And that starts at 9 tomorrow?
That starts at 9 tomorrow.
For how many days?
It's going to be a total of 8 classes, and it's on Mondays and Thursdays. So it'll be for 4 weeks. We got the 28-day cycle going on here. So, it's going to be a very important time. And one of the things I like to kind of piggyback on what the brother was talking about earlier, it's very important to bring in these tools and these energies like crystals, like understanding the timing of the universe, if you're really into astrology and astronomy, really understand where the planets are doing, what the planets are saying, because there is a communication through the energy forces. So, it's very important to dial in to those things at this time. And once again, I'd like to reiterate the fact that a real good way is to filter everything through the heart. Come from a love place. And when you're connecting to these other energies that are out there. One of the things that I find really interesting, we just finally have pictures coming in from Pluto, right? And some with 4 billion miles away, 9 billion, whatever that number is, there's a planet Pluto. When they first started taking pictures of this Pluto about 1 million miles away or so from it, they discovered that Pluto has a heart on it. Have you seen that picture?
No.
It's really fascinating. I do have it on my website under social, I believe. And it's just really kind of a cool thing to see. This many million miles away, there's a universal symbol that looks just like a heart. I highly recommend people taking a look at that. You can also Google that as well, Pluto heart. And you'll see this picture that looks just like a heart on Pluto. And the outskirts of our universe. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, there again is the genius in someone who is able to capture, in fact, not just someone, but the collective nature of scientists and people who are able to capture these types of sights, these types of visions or images that remind us that almost it's like the song I listen to a lot, Love is the Universal Language. And here we are looking at a heart that's millions of miles away. It's as if, you know, it's as if the universe, our creator, is just crying out to us to pay attention to the heart, pay attention to love. Get back to love. Get out of the war mind. Get back to love. And in fact, Keith, I have a question for you. When you say we need to get back to love, what about someone who was programmed with so much hatred in their young life that they're really being destructive in this society? They're not understanding or doing their purpose at all. But how do you get to what are some of the things you do to transform someone who was raised with such hatred?
Yeah, those are challenging ones there. The person has to make the choice. And hopefully before the person experienced death because of such destruction, whether it's health or whether it's through physical violence, however it comes about, the person has to make a choice. And we're always given that choice. It's the universal calling, that signal of the genius mind, of the God mind, is always there. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't there. So at some point, and I remember when I was 13, let's see, I was about 13 at the time, I remember this coming through, and all of a sudden I was asked, do you want to live for the good or you want to live for the bad? And I'm thinking, where in the heck did that come from? And of course, at that time, I chose for the good. But I think we get those little beacons, those little callings all the time. So we have to make that choice, and it is an individual choice. Many people won't make it because of the choices that they've made. They'll have to keep repeating over and over again. You mentioned about past life. So there's given many chances for that individual to finally, hey, wake up. And that's what has to happen. So let's say if a person does wake up and does say, okay, I surrender. I want to talk about two different levels of the mind. One is the genius mind, and one is the ego mind. So at the conscious level, which is called the conscious mind, we have the ability to make choices. And we make choices all throughout the day, all throughout our life. We're making choices. So the choices that we make are either connecting us to our genius, or it's in the way of our genius. So we have to begin to look at that stuff that's in the way and see how we're operating to these things that, or these choices that we're making that is in the way. So one of the ways to do that is to go by how you're feeling throughout the day. And so when you sense something isn't feeling right, begin to ask, what belief system does this feeling, does this emotion represent? And now we have to start asking questions, right? We have to start asking questions, what is this? What is this that's keeping me in the way of my genius? What ego mind is playing here? So when we begin to start discovering, so let's say, we want to change a bad habit, cigarettes, for an example, or eating over excessively, or eating the wrong type of foods, in the way stuff, right? In the way of us losing that extra 10 pounds, whatever. So we have to begin to look at, okay, so what is my association with this particular food? is this food driving an emotion? So if you discover that, oh, yeah, so these cookies represent when I'm upset with my wife, for an example. And now you begin to look at, okay, so what is driving this upsetness? Because all this stuff is layered, and mm-hmm. it's layered deep. So, oh, okay, so, you know, there's this behavior that my wife, for an example, has that reminds me of something that really used to irk me about my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then so what is it that this belief system that I have about my mother that would drive me to go out and buy a box of cookies to eat? Yeah, seriously. So, well, she used to yell at me every time she comes home because I didn't turn up the heat. So you have all these different dialogues going on that are very much active and very much in the way, and we have to start pulling those plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that making sense?
Oh, yes. And here's another example for you. I was thinking about my own mother, of course. My mother was an alcoholic most of my life. I hardly remember mm-hmm. a day when she was an alcoholic, except the end of her life, praise Yah. She really changed and became a more normal person and more sweet and kind, considerate. All those things happened at the end, which I'm so grateful for. But I used to be alone with my mother in her alcoholic state. My other two sisters were away at school. And when you say a box of cookies, how about a whole bag of potato chips? And who knows what other sweets. And I used to indulge in just overeating late at night because my mother was intoxicated. You know, I can say I wasn't getting the nurturing, whatever, the attention from my mother. And I was most of the time in this period, I was a teenager. I would say early teens or preteen that I was experiencing this. And I would be eating it late at night just to comfort myself, feeling, mm-hmm. you know, sad. I always felt sad about that alcoholism. And I would eat for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in my life, when I was managing a health food store here in the Orlando area, when I would get really, really stressed about my job, guess what? I'd go buy a box of cookies, bring them in my office, and spend the whole day mm-hmm. eating a box of cookies.
Yep. Yeah.
So you pick the right food, the cookies. What's with the cookies?
Well, so I picked those for a reason, because I see a lot of people out there with stored emotions.
Yeah.
And the weight represents stored emotions.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a good one. That tire around the middle, huh? Even.
Absolutely. And it goes around the heart, and it goes around all these other things, and it creates diabetes and all this stuff. So we have to begin that journey where we start pulling the plug on these things that aren't ours in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Very true. And and another area of the heart and the emotions is we are kind of dealing with emotions. I was reading an email today from Dr. Veronique DeSalier. She's she's a chiropractor, acupuncturist. She was writing, and she mentioned that a new study showed the number of young women with breast cancer is rising.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote that it's been a steady increase for the last 4 decades. I thought, wow,
oh, geez.
4 decades?
Wow.
And we've had in fact, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm going to do a whole show next week on why we get it and how to prevent it. But I just thought it was amazing that even in her nice summary of all the study and researchers are admitting that the cause is more than likely environmental, and the researchers were from the University of Washington and Oregon, but there was no mention of emotions in this write-up. It was all, again, what I see as external causes of everything. You know, we want to be victims, and we want to say that, well, it's not anything inside of me. It's just him or her or that person that is stimulating these emotions, this anger. It's because that person is living with me, and he makes me angry. And what's been your experience with how people want to point outward versus inward to blame, you know, that victim mind? How do we get out of that victim mind?
Well, you hit on a very important thing, because we perceive in the physical value. We perceive our environment, and it reacts as a mirror. So we're reflecting outward. We're looking with our eyes, our five physical senses, and we're projecting with our eyes that this is how it is. It's the seeing is believing instead of believing is seeing. So we're projecting out. And it's when we decide to go within through prayer or through meditation, do we now begin?
Uh-oh, did we lose, I think we lost our guest. He'll come back. But I want to go on into, while we're waiting for Keith to come back, he dropped out. I think that happens a lot. We have the people just drop out, and then I'll wait for him to come back in and then bring him back to finish that thought, because that's important. But it, among the things that, wait a minute, is he back? For Keith, yeah, he's back. Let me bring him back. Keith, you're back. You dropped off.
I'm here. I don't know what happened now, but.
It happens. Blog Talk, I don't run this. They run everything. But please go ahead and finish that thought you started about believing is seeing. That was powerful.
Yeah, so it's a switch. So the program, the belief systems that many people have is seeing it is believing it.
Mm-hmm.
When actually, when we learn to reverse it, believing is seeing. Now we're beginning to tap into our genius mind, because now believing it first moves through the cycle. What are one of the things that we're taught, even our religious culture, is to have faith. It's to believe, right? So we start that process of believing, and now we take responsibility for what is presented through our environment. So, yeah, and the way to really tap into that is meditations as a real key way of fast going in, because you go through different levels of frequency by going within, to where if you just are always projecting outward, you're always operating at around 20 cycles per second, is what it's called, which is called the beta level of mind. The alpha level of mind is like when babies come in, are typically around 9 to 14 cycles per second. And then you can even go deeper into what's called theta, which is typically around 5 cycles per second. And everybody's probably heard of delta, which is around 1.5 cycles per second, which is sleep. So, but anyway, as you learn to go into these, I'll call them deeper levels, but they're actually higher frequencies, because now we're starting to tune into the imagination, which deals with believing. We start seeing things with the images of our mind. And And now we're creating that way instead of reacting, which seeing believing is reactionary.
Yeah.
And believing is seeing, is where we're taking charge.
Mm. I love that. That's beautiful. And I was thinking, it's interesting when we have men and women who go to see their doctor and they are diagnosed with a disease or an ailment, and many times they hear the doctor say it's incurable. But you look at that word incurable, and it's saying the cure is within.
Wow.
And we miss that all the time. Some people get it. Some people really back off and say, "Wait a minute, it's time to change my lifestyle. How did I get to this point?" And they really do start the meditating, the change the diet, looking inside the body, and saying, "Oh, it's the cure is in my mind. The cure is in my emotions. The cure is in my attitude." And even as we're hearing in our ancestors' voice, hearing the voice of our ancestors inside of our head that says, the cure is within, and I can help you. And that's where I had to go with my grandmother, is just being still and thinking about all the pain that my grandmother and maybe even my great-grandmothers went through as women, and what I'm holding on to in my emotions and in my genes that has been causing my own pain. That it was a deep moment for me. I was crying. I was in tears when I started going within and thinking about my ancestors.
That's a beautiful discovery.
It was amazing. I'm still processing that. And we may have to talk later, because I'm wondering if I am my grandmother's spirit. That's the thought that came next, is that possible, that woman who died in 1936, something like that. And she, that's plenty of time to come back as another person.
Well, that could be. I mean, we do have those soul connections as well.
Yes, yes. And that's how I'm choosing to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the believing is seeing. That's where our faith in our Creator. When the scriptures tell us the kingdom is within, I think that was Christ's words that said the kingdom. They talked about the kingdom out here. Well, we thought you were going to come and change the kingdom. We thought you were going to rule over Israel. You thought we were going to. And he quietly said, the kingdom is within.
Within, yep. And that's where we must look.
Yes, that's where we must look. So, Keith, before we wrap things up, do you have any guides for meditation that you can maybe take us through, a brief meditation? Because there may be a lot of people on the call, we have quite a few numbers showing up, who don't even know how to meditate. What would be your suggestions and maybe guidelines for practicing a beginner's meditation?
Well, the first thing, let's see. The first thing is to want to do it and to bring a purpose with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important, is to have that purpose. To just try it, which means to test, to experiment, there probably won't be a whole lot of success with it. So there has to be a purpose. And the purpose could be for many things, to reach God. It could be to heal a particular thing. Whatever that purpose might be, there needs to be one there. Typically with meditation, this is something I take it as kind of a sacred ritual type of thing, because it's something that I'm going in with a purpose, and that purpose is to reach my higher, and however that looks, and to really have that communication, or it's like a beacon where now I'm in alignment with the forces that are out there, in alignment with the universe, in alignment with God. And so meditation can be viewed as that. So having that purpose, establishing a quiet time is important. So typically when people begin meditation, it's important to actually sit up and so that your alignment is correct, your spinal alignment is correct. When people close their eyes, you automatically are shutting off what you see physically, obviously, your physical environment. So that's mm-hmm. that's an important process there. And then next is to become aware of the breathing or become aware of the activity that is projecting on the mind. Now, a lot of people will quit meditation right when they start to see things coming in or feeling an emotion because it scares them. They're not used to going within, picking up those signals that are going on all the time. Mm-hmm. But now you're taking a look at it because you're going inside. Very important. So one of the things that happens when you go in is that, yeah, you'll start remembering stuff. And it could be from many years back when you're going in and you're looking at things. A lot of times these things are old subconscious stuff that needs to be taken a look at. So if you close your eyes and then just kind of breathe and just kind of relax in and out, just kind of watch that rhythm breathing and just pay attention to what's going on, how the body's responding, how the different twitches you may feel within the body. What are the emotions that are stirring up? I remember the first time that I meditated, I was in the cloud. I mean, I was literally, it really felt like I was in the clouds. I mean, I just saw it plain as day. It was all around me. I mean, it was really, really cool. And I asked about it, and the information back was that it represents a higher consciousness. So it is a method to where we can start tuning in. I can go deeper with this or actually go through it step by step. But one of the objectives to meditation is to get to the frequencies that are higher in nature. And in order to do that, we have to get through all that clutter first. And a lot of times when a person first starts the journey of meditation, oh, I can't do this because I got all this stuff running on inside my head. Well, yeah, those are the things that probably needs to be looked at before you can start really quieting the mind to get to those higher levels of frequencies. Does that help?
Oh, very much so. No, I'm not looking for anything in particular. I just want my listeners to feel that this is something that they can do, and then why they should do it. What do you think the most important reason these days, especially, that people should be trying to meditate or look into this practice?
Because there is a force and an energy out there that is very powerful and that is calling for our attention. And it is time that we pay attention to what these forces are. Have we all not said, man, time's flying by? Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah,
well,
every day.
It's not the time. It's that we're speeding up. We're becoming faster. And there will be some people that won't be able to keep up. Why? Because they're not aligning themselves up to these new energies. Well, actually, it's really old energy, but it's been around. But it's lining ourselves back up to these frequencies again and creating that harmonic pattern with it. So as these energies get stronger and coming in more and more, as we more blasted by the sun with its photons, photons mean light, light energy, as people choose to ignore the signals that they're feeling within their mind, within their body, the railroad track, so to speak, gets wider and wider apart, and it's going to be a lot harder to start jumping track onto the genius mind track, if you will, versus the ego mind track. So if anything, I would say that is one of the key reasons to, is to get reconnected with your genius self, which will send you to higher realities.
And help you stay on the path on Earth a little longer, maybe.
Absolutely. And this isn't necessarily about religion or anything. Keep all the things intact that have supported you. The difference is, though, is now you're drawing a body-mind connection and connecting to the higher energies and higher forces. For many of us, our bodies are living in the past. It's wired for the past, like we were talking about the 1-6 age, and all that wiring is from past thinking or past belief systems. So it's important.
Oops, I think Keith dropped out again. So is there? We have a few minutes left. We have about, let's see, 12 minutes left. If anyone has a comment or a question at this point, now is the time. Hit number 1 on your dialed phone, and I will see your light show up, and we will have you ask the question. Let me see. Keith is back again. Keith,
jeez,
you're
I'm
back again.
Yes. you get deep in thought, and where did it go?
I know. We're speeding up again.
Yeah, so... go ahead, please.
No, we have about 10 minutes left. Go ahead if you have any closing. I've invited my listeners to hit number 1 if they have a comment or question, but I don't see any new hands going up. So what would you say for the audience going forward in this time that we're in, what are your closing thoughts? And I want to know, is there any way people can still join your webinar starting tomorrow?
Absolutely. They can go to my website, which is myvaluesystems.com. That's myvaluesystems, plural, .com, and go to the store section and sign up there. And the course is $49.95, very reasonably priced for an 8 session. We go deep with really getting into value systems and understand. I actually call this an accelerated program, and there's a lot of techniques that I will share to really help speed up the process as far as bringing in these new energies and stuff. So, yeah, the class, I have 2 classes scheduled. One starts at 9, and the other one starts at 7. That's Pacific Daylight Time.
Is that 7 p.m.?
7 p.m., yes.
Okay, so you have one class at 9 a.m. Pacific, which is 12 Eastern, and then one at 7 p.m., and that's 10 p.m. Now, are these are the same classes that you're just doing in the same day?
Yes, they're both the same classes. I have one for the morning folks and one for the night folks.
Oh, that's good, because like for me, 12 o'clock noon, I'm at work, and probably quite a few others. I'm glad you scheduled it at evening. So, okay, that's great. And the website, again, is myvaluesystemsplural.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what about some concluding remarks for us on this journey to bring back our value, empower our value system?
Yeah, and that's the very important point, is to begin to empower yourselves, ourselves, to understand that once we begin to empower ourselves, it gives us the ability to say yes or no to the things that we are perceiving. So within a certain value system, we can begin to choose how we want it to respond. So for an example, career. This is a tough one because there's a belief system in there that we have to work and that we have to support this and support that. But a lot of us choose jobs or choose a situation just to earn the income. Now, what about the possibility of doing something that really excites you, that represents your genius? So those are two different type of belief systems that goes on there. Well, I can't do well, you know, I really enjoy playing guitar, painting, and there's no money in that. Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people that are making very good money by doing their passion and their joy. So it is about that. So I would say, in closing, discover your values and all eight value systems. Then begin the process of looking at where your excitements are, where your geniuses are at within those structures, and then begin to create a roadmap into getting to those places of excitement and live your life by your excitements, which represents now your new value system that has nothing to do with all those old beliefs that we've been brought up. And many of us been brought up with a lot of hate, a lot of fear, a lot of judgments. It's time to let those things go and bring in the new energy, which is love, joy, happiness, excitement. Very, very important.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Keith. That is just beautiful, and a beautiful way to end this blog talk show for the night. And I hope some of you will consider going to Keith's website and plug in on this teaching that will help you in this journey to be a genius. That's what it's coming down to. We all need to be geniuses to survive what's happening in our society, with our government, pharmaceuticals, all this. We have to have that genius mind to survive. So I'm going to put on a beautiful song about love is the universal language, and I thought I had it here. And that's what we've been talking about. Our Creator gave us a powerful mind, and we haven't been using it. We have not been using it. And it's time. It's really time. So here's a reminder of beautiful song that someone gave me about love is the universal language. Enjoy and shalom and have a great week. And remember that Keith is ready to start empowering us tomorrow at 9 or 7 Pacific. So love you all and shalom.
Beata, thank you very much.
Yeah.